Welcome back. It's a Monday, the 29th day of August, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Collin. It's another one of those good news and bad news days. The good news is there are no mushroom clouds yet. World War III, while in progress, hasn't yet ended by going nuclear. As for the bad news, well, that'll take a bit longer. So let's start instead with something I'm going to call predictive news. Things that you already knew, but the fact that they're talking about it gives you another clue as to just how much worse it is than you might have thought already. Case in point, from the Daily Mail in the UK, Republican fortunes are falling, they're saying, reflecting, of course, the new official narrative. The GOP is now predicted, they say, and of course, they would be the push propaganda pollsters, to retake the House by only 8 seats, rather than the whopping, overwhelming landslide that's probably really going to happen, but for the election rigging, in a new battleground poll. And get this, the senile marionette in chief's so-called approval rating has ticked up. Oh yeah, do you believe this for a second? It's at 45%, as independents are split over whether or not Mar-a-Lago means that the United States is a banana republic, or simply lawless. Well, I guess at least they're learning how they have to vote if they don't want to be raided. I have trouble believing anybody would believe this crap, folks. Here's the bullet points. Amid a series of major Democratic wins, with things like the tyranny-invoking Inflation Reduction Act, which is nothing of the sort, the CHIPS Act, which might just make Nancy even richer, and student loan forgiveness. Oh yeah, we can print money for anybody that's far enough left. Biden's approval rating has ticked up. And it says a slim majority of voters approve overall of both the fake-named Inflation Reduction Act, wait until they see what's going to happen next when it comes to paying their electric bill or putting food on the table. Since they won't be able to do both, most of Biden's increased approval, though, does come from the far, far, far left, 8% more of whom now say they strongly approve of the double diaper wear than were duped by the communist Chinese puppet masters back in July. Still, though, a large majority rate the economy poorly. 65% say it's either fairly bad or really bad, while 31% are totally clueless, saying it's, no, not as bad as it seems. And let's not forget, there's the 1% of 1% that say, hey, if you're on the right team and get to print money and use it first, it's downright great. But what's the real point here, folks? Why am I spending any time on stuff that we all know is pure unmitigated BS? Answer, it's also predictive programming. Because ultimately, if Big Brother knows that were the election to be honest, this would be one of the biggest nationwide midterm Republican landslides in history. People have had it. They're sick and tired of it. Most simply aren't buying it anymore. Or worse. They know the raid on Mar-a-Lago was supposed to have them quaking in their boots. They know, too, what the new 87,000-strong IRS standing army is going to do. But a lot of them still believe that voting in the fall may make a difference. So, since the fix is already in, we're going to see poll after poll demonstrating exactly how it's going to turn out. Yep, the Republican House takeover is going to get smaller and smaller. Ooh, they may not even be able to win back the Senate. Oh, and then finally, at about 4 a.m. in the morning on, you can pick the date, can't you? Hint, it'll start in the wee hours of a Wednesday. There'll be some shocking numbers, and they'll be just big enough to make sure that district by district, House seat by House seat, and sellout Senate seat by seat, the numbers just weren't quite big enough to support that red wave. Ironically, it really was a red wave, folks. They just got the colors wrong a long time ago. And in hindsight, we can see that, too, as part of the very same PSYOP. And here's another one, very same source, and I'll admit this one's a bit more subtle. Another headline from the Daily Mail says, if Trump is indicted, there'll be riots, quoting GOP sick Senator Lindsey Graham, who threatens unrest, they say, if the ex-president is prosecuted. And he says there's a double standard. Gee, do you think? How amazingly insightful of him. And downright bold, too, now that even leftist late night is starting to see it. Over the Mar-a-Lago raid, and contrasting with it, the Hunter Biden laptop from hell scandal. You know what? Lindsey's so late to the party here, folks, he probably didn't even get a hit off of Hunter's crack pipe. And who could have ever thought it, folks? Lindsey Graham is coming right out and saying what all of his constituents have been telling him he'd better say for a long time now. There's a two-tiered legal system, he said, based along political lines. Oh, really? In support of Joe Biden and against the, former president. Quote, most Republicans, including me, hey, who could have imagined that, folks, believe when it comes to Trump, there is no law. It's all about getting him, he said to Fox News, where else, on Sunday night. adding, there's a double standard when it comes to Trump. What happened with Hunter Biden is that the FBI weighed in to make sure the story didn't break before the 2020 election. And now, he added, we have whistleblowers at the FBI telling Senator Chuck Grassley they were told to slow down and back off Hunter Biden. So, evidently reading from the new script, that means that the two-faced traitorous rhino sellout, at least for now, is going to pretend to be back on board. Want to place your bets now on how long Lindsey's constitutional conservatism and righteous moral outrage at the two-tiered legal system will last? I'm guessing till just after the election results don't come in as planned. Well, actually, let's be clear here. They do come in precisely as planned, and then he'll be on the right team again. I'll say this, he added. If there's a prosecution of Donald Trump for mishandling classified information after the Clinton debacle, there'll be riots in the street. And yes, he said, only about 6 years too late, if they tried to prosecute President Trump for mishandling classified information after Hillary Clinton, and he still doesn't pronounce it right, set up a server in her basement, there will literally be riots in the street. I worry about the country, said the rhino sellout, comparing the situation to the controversy over Clinton's documented treason. No, they didn't come out and say it that way. They said her use of a personal email server, which is in fact one of the biggest sellouts of national security in American history. And it dwarfs everything Trump was even accused of here that caused his home to get raided. While she sat in the office, and no, I'm not going to use their word serve because she didn't serve anything, of Secretary of State. And they just keep piling on, folks, trying to sell Graham as a new, this time for sure, actual, not just plain old rhino, but yeah, the kind that's going to go with you, be behind you, right up until Election Eve, at which point he'll mysteriously retain a cushy position in whatever things look like after the red wave that wasn't. And oh, it sounds good. It's just that we know that he's reading from the script. Quote, you love the law and I love the law. I've never been more worried about the law in politics as I am right now. How can you tell a conservative Republican, and he won't try it, at least not at this point in the cycle, that the system works when it comes to President Trump? What happened in Crossfire Hurricane? It was a joke of an investigation. And yes, he was a joke of a Republican during the entire thing, too. People lied, he continued, and manipulated the evidence. And yeah, I didn't do a damn thing about it. But look what happened to Hunter Biden while I maintained my silence, too. They gave him a complete pass, apparently, and socialist, he didn't spell that right either, media outlets suppressed information that could have mattered, unquote. And throughout all of this, folks, throughout every single stinking minute of it, where was Lindsey Graham? Oh yeah, what was Lindsey Graham doing? Taking care of Lindsey. But now that what he's been working so hard to let get here is here, he's oh so concerned. Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has been elected and actually has been performing like someone who genuinely is concerned about the destruction of the rule of law, has more and more reason to be. She was swatted twice late last week, on Wednesday, and then again on Thursday. And if you haven't heard the term, that's when evil people use the evil system to try and get somebody killed by claiming that there's something going on. So send a SWAT team there. Bust down the door. Oh, yeah. And if you see a nice lady holding a rifle because her door just got busted down, blow her away. And they darn near did. And it's a felony, folks, if you do that to a leftist. She showed RSBN's Brian Glenn on Saturday evening the rifle that she almost reached for. But she told him, quote, something inside me said, don't take that with you. And that was a really strong feeling. I thought twice about it. And it saved her life, as it turns out, because police had been told that there was a lady in there with a rifle and they would have probably killed her. Her comment, they 100% wanted me to be murdered. Death by cop, unquote. After nutcase Nancy's attempt to provoke communist China and or just give them a great excuse to invade Taiwan, it's kind of hard to tell anymore. One thing's for sure, there was the appearance of impropriety after the Biden's CHIPS Act when she had that unscheduled, yeah sure, lunch meeting with the CEO of Taiwan's largest semiconductor manufacturer. Well, the hits just keep on coming. Beijing has now issued their response to the visit of anti-China hawk Senator Marsha Blackburn. Also, Pukin the Dragon, who visited Taiwan on Thursday and Friday. The response began with at least 35 People's Liberation Army jets buzzing the Taiwan Islands airspace on Friday, including 8 Chinese Navy vessels patrolling off-island. And Fox News reported the next day that China has sent 4 nuclear-capable bombers near Taiwan just one day after Marsha Blackburn met Taiwan's president in Taipei. All parts say the stories of the ongoing message and fallout, almost like it was intended, folks, going back to nutcase Nancy Pelosi's visit on August 2nd. And I guess confirming that, Blackburn on Friday morning said, Xi Jinping doesn't scare me. A week ago, we brought you the story of the adult daughter of one of Putin's advisors, Daria Dugina, who was blown up via a car bomb that was probably intended for her father, but maybe they were just as happy to kill her anyway. Ukraine denied any knowledge of the incident. Russia later indicated that there'd be a military response, suggesting they believe she'd escaped through Estonia. And now, as Hal Turner's radio show reports, a female member of the Ukrainian National Guard, the woman that was thought to have been the executioner, Natalia Vovka, who entered Russia on July 23rd and then moved into the same apartment building as Daria Dugina and stalked her and then planted a bomb to murder her by blowing up the car she'd been driving, has been found in a hotel room in Austria, stabbed to death 17 times. And as the story puts it, dead men, or in this case, women, tell no tales. So you have to ask, is Ukraine tidying up loose ends by assassinating the assassin? Or did just maybe Putin get even? And this is yet another one of those cases where inquiring minds may never actually hear the truth. One more, I guess you'd say, embarrassing story from the war front. It looks like it's not just the United States military that's being destroyed from within. The biggest warship in the UK's Navy, the HMS Prince of Wales, has broken down right off the south coast of England, just shortly after setting out for the United States. The 65,000-ton vessel is said to have suffered a significant technical fault just one day into what had been billed as a landmark mission to the United States. The problem, they say, is being investigated. The HMS Prince of Wales, which heads an aircraft carrier task group deployed with a frigate, tanker, and an air group of helicopters and drones, and commanding officer Captain Richard Hewitt said in a statement to mark the departure prior to the mechanical glitch, taking the HMS Prince of Wales task group across the Atlantic for the rest of this year will not only push the boundaries, I guess they pushed them just a bit too far, of UK carrier operations, but will reinforce our close working relationship with our closest allies. Maybe now that means, do the Yanks have a tow rope? Here's another story, may or may not be related, but I think it begs the question, is it malfeasance, incompetence, or intended mass murder? And no, there's one question in here that they're not going to answer. You'll be able to figure it out when we get there. A Jet 2, and that's a European carrier evidently, flight from Birmingham, England to Antalya, Turkey, made an emergency landing in Greece due to what the airline later called a medical emergency. According to Birmingham Live and via the Gateway Pundit, one fuming passenger claimed the ordeal had delayed the start of their holiday by 8 hours, and they were given a measly 15 euro voucher for what supposedly covered a basic meal, because Jet 2 does not compensate for delays due to medical emergencies. I guess, folks, especially if the medical emergencies may be due to, the you-know-what Zyklon B injection. A Jet 2 representative said the flight was rerouted as a precautionary measure after one of the pilots reportedly fainted at 30,000 feet. Says the story, there's been an increase in the number of times that pilots have fainted or fallen asleep of late. You may or may not be able to guess why. The commercial aviation news site Aviation Herald reported that 2 pilots on a flight from Sudan to Ethiopia last week had apparently, you ready for this, fallen asleep, and as a result, they missed their landings. The aircraft, quote, continued past the top of the descent profile. They quote Yahoo News to say other airlines such as Wizz Air have been investigated by regulators amid fears that they're encouraging pilots to fly while they're tired or maybe take on extra trips. Oh, yeah. Are you buying that? An air traffic controller in management at Madrid, Spain, anonymously tipped off his wife that there were some 28 unscheduled emergency landings in just May of this year alone due to, get this, medical issues associated with people losing consciousness compared to, at most, maybe 1 or 2 in a normal year.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids we're looking for. Move along. Move along.
And the story also says this, folks, and I'm quoting, The cases of sudden deaths reported in the daily internal AENA reports, and that's a report from Spain, likely understates the true number of deaths due to government corruption. The two deaths reported in May and the partial reports compiled by our source had to be reported because they were obvious and attracted attention. But whenever possible, said the source, Spanish area airports tend to move people found dead in the airports quietly to ambulances, and the people on the receiving end are instructed to report them as having been alive, yeah, sure, when they arrived at the hospital, and then they died shortly thereafter from, dare we say it, unexplained and other causes. All to conceal the total number of people that died from the, I don't know what this word is, folks. It's been redacted, but it starts with C and has V in the next word. And likely, says the story, the conspiracy to conceal the total number of, let's just call them Zyklon B injuries and deaths in airports, is not happening only in Spain, but in every country that's part of the global coordinated cover-up here. From Steve Kirsch and Stu Peters and others, I saw the story up on the Burning Platform as well, hundreds of Canadian doctors are now reported dead, and as Steve Kirsch noted, at least 30 deaths of young, healthy Canadian doctors can't be explained any other way than that they were killed by, oh, you know what, the Zyklon B injection masquerading as a vaccine. Says the story, the genocide's been confirmed now after the fourth booster has been mandated for people that you would have thought would know better in the medical field. Here's a confirmation of what Stu Peters says in the Canadian Medical Association's In Memoriam pages, where deaths recorded among doctors in 2019 were 35. In 2020, the number exploded to 246, while in 2021, it reached a mind-blowing 393. And if they keep on pushing the boosters, you can just guess what it might be in years to come. But whether it gets reported is another thing entirely. From Doug Casey's International Man, a quick story that actually I've seen reported on the radar now several times, but it fits in this sequence. Courtesy of Chris McIntosh. Are you hungry? Well, good, according to Central Planners. The folks over at the UN stopped destroying the world for a brief few minutes to publish a piece, and he includes a snapshot I've seen in a number of places, justifying their behavior and explaining that the benefits of the famine they've just engineered so much outweigh any costs of a few dead folks like y'all. The author George Kent, professor at the Department of Political Science at the University of Hawaii, called it the benefits of world hunger, which he said has great value, positive value to many people, those that don't die. Indeed, he said it's fundamental to the working of the world's economy, because you know what? When y'all are starving, you might work harder, especially if there's a need for manual labor. And guess what? After a reaction from the peons out there, this one got taken down. But it did then go viral on social media, where people were truly horrified at the unbelievable level of evil. But I guess that just means they haven't been paying attention. This story then goes on to note that it's not just food that the average Joe is going to have a lot of trouble paying for, and I've talked about this too. According to France 24, Giuseppe Conte, the head of Five Star, a political party, said, I have a strong fear that September will be a time when many families will face the terrible choice of paying their electricity bills or buying food. We're absolutely willing to dialogue to make our constructive contribution to the government, to Draghi, but we're not willing to write a blank check. And this is followed by a chart of German one-year forward baseload electricity in euros per megawatt hour, which went from somewhere around 50 euros per megawatt hour, give or take, to most recently way, way above 300. And that's a kind of inflation that even a Joe Biden, if he had any memory of it, could be proud. A related piece from Zero Hedge says that Europe plans emergency intervention in the power market as all hell has now broken loose. Even Zoltan Pozsar is warning that Europe faces an apocalypse of sorts now that the divorce between Europe and Russia is complete and energy prices over there are hitting fresh daily record highs every single day. They're up 10 times over just a year ago. They've got a related story here saying this is beyond imagination. Polish homeowners have lined up literally for days trying to buy coal ahead of this winter. One of them, a 57-year-old pensioner, drove some 30 miles to the mine in eastern Poland hoping to buy several tons of coal for himself and his family. Quote, toilets were put up today, but there's no running water, he said, after three nights of sleeping in his small red hatchback in a crawling queue of trucks, tractors, and trailers, along with private cars. This is beyond imagination, he said, people sleeping in their cars. I remember the communist times, but it didn't cross my mind that we could return to something even worse, unquote. Well, moments ago, says Zero Hedge and Tyler Durden, the European Union appears finally to have realized that they face an armed revolt this winter, or maybe worse, when millions face freezing cold without power or heat. And Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said they were planning urgent steps to try to push down soaring power prices. Get this. Quote, the skyrocketing electricity prices are now exposing, for different reasons, the limitations of our current electricity market design, she said at a speech at the BLED Strategic Summit in Slovenia, pointing out what's been obvious for years to those who've repeatedly warned that Europe shouldn't make their energy policy based on the idiotic ravings of a self-absorbed petulant Scandinavian teenager. You know what, folks? Maybe they shouldn't let them be dictated as well by a senile, face-diaper-wearing imposter who wants to play dictator and try to start World War III. I guess given all of that, this is a good day to take the Wayback Machine back about 5 months to April 21st this year and see what David Stockman was then warning about and that we're now seeing on the inflation front. Former Reagan-era budget director and economist David Stockman has weighed in with the assistance of Nick Giambruno on the inflationary hell that he says is about to break loose. He's not alone there, as you know, but Stockman makes some pretty cogent observations. It's only a matter of time before Kiev surrenders to the Russians, suggests the piece, with or without their clown car president signing any armistice. But that deal will be so onerous from the perspective of the swamp in Washington that it will not mark the end of the sanctions war, but merely an excuse for additional intensification and, of course, as desired, indefinite prolongation. Oh, yeah, and it's a great excuse for blaming what's coming on anything else other than what they see in the mirror, too. When that becomes a reality, he says, inflationary hell will break out all over the place, and the Fed's decades-long experiment in egregious inflationary money pumping will splatter ignominiously all over the Eccles building, i.e. Fed headquarters. And it now appears that commodities markets have been so drastically roiled by the action to date that Washington's war on the global trading and payment system is now open-ended and can theoretically go on for years because the Russian-loathing, Putin-demonizing socialists, a.k.a. Democrats, now in charge of policy in Washington, can't even see straight when it comes to the real issues of the conflict. There's absolutely nothing wrong, he suggests, with partitioning Ukraine and Crimea, nor with Putin's proposed new security arrangements that would have NATO move its missile bases to pre-1999 status quo and the re-garrisoning of U.S. and Western military forces in the old NATO territories. But those very plausible solutions are so far removed from the war fever now raging on the Potomac that there's no chance of Washington embracing a negotiated solution to what is now increasingly looking like World War III. He suggests it might take a historic GOP sweep of the 2024 midterms to clear the decks of the demonization here. And don't hold your breath, folks. Even if people turn out en masse to vote for anything other than what they've been getting, who says that the votes are going to be counted, honestly, history being any guide? And again, says Stockman, let's not forget oil recently hit $130 a barrel. It'll probably be back there before long. But here's the thing. Double-digit inflation is now guaranteed. And furthermore, we know it's going to be long-lasting because the Fed is occupied by what amounts to anti-Volckers. This groupthink-addicted bunch of Keynesian crackpots are clueless about the dire inflationary forces now raging. He's given them the benefit of the doubt, I think, folks. Some of us suspect that they know it, and they're just anxious to see the fires burn. Anyway, they are still buying bonds, i.e. QE, and planning only tepid 25 basis point rate increases, when actually hundreds of basis points, or percentage points at a whack, are necessary ASAP. Here, says David Stockman, is just one example. Nickel spot prices are up nearly 500%, and this is merely illustrative of the inflationary firestorm now gathering a major head of steam. Wheat prices have skyrocketed more than 60% recently after the war effectively shut off more than a third of the world's wheat supply, which ordinarily trades out of the Black Sea ports for Ukraine and Russian producers. That commodity, in turn, is used in everything from bread to cookies to noodles, and accordingly, those soaring upstream costs will rapidly work their way down the processing pipeline, that is, if the pipeline isn't burned up, folks, until maybe, if you're lucky, they arrive on grocery shelves. And when might that be, says David Stockman? Well, just in time for American consumers to be paying $6 per gallon, if they're lucky there, to be able to drive to a store and pick up an inflated priced loaf of bread. But there's far, far worse than to come. And here we are, folks, a few months further down the line, and literally nothing's changed except for the fact that the guilty are getting away with it and continuing to double down. There's a message there for those with eyes to see. Pay attention and be ready. What was coming is now here, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.